You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I'm thrilled to have the real estate extraordinaire Jay Fletch on. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, it's an honor.
Oh, and today we were just chatting. So today we're going non-alcoholic and we're drinking Jay's favorite coffee drink, which is a chai tea latte with almond milk. And so tell me, we were talking about why you don't drink when you're in town or networking, and that's such a big part of your business. Tell us more about that, why you choose not to imbibe at times.
Yeah, and here's the reason being, is at the end of the day, I feel that Ben Franklin said it best, loose lips sink ships. And so the reality of it is this, when I drink, I tend to say more than I should.
Don't we all?
And when you're in a business of everything really is confidential, like I'm working with several of your friends, I will answer your questions on some of the things that are non-confidential, but you will never get out of me what they plan on doing. You'll never get out any financial. So my clients will tend to give me information that's confidential. It's harder for me to keep that in when I drink.
Sure.
So I will not be drinking. I will not drink in a business setting. I will not drink in a networking setting when it's business related.
Sure.
Just because of that reason and what could come from it.
Yeah. No, super smart. So tell us about yourself, Jay. Who are you?
Hardworking, dedicated. I've got a little girl. Spend a lot of time with her as much as I can anyways. Love real estate. Fell in love with that business. Fell in love with sales, constant learner, former military. Yeah.
I love it.
Pretty laid back for the most part.
I love it. So tell me about why are we drinking a chai tea latte? Why is that one of your favorite coffee drinks?
You tried it, right?
Yeah, it's delicious. It's like soothing. It's spicy, soothing, and it like makes you feel, it's like a comfort drink, actually.
You hit it right on the head. It's a comfort drink. So for me, it's about, I think the next level of, you know, you have people talking about managing their weight, managing their health, and managing, I think the one thing too is we have to manage our stress and we have to manage our energy. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a comfort drink. It calms me and it allows me to think more clearly. So I like chai tea. I've never really gotten to tea. Tea to me just never really stuck, but the chai tea does. I like it hot. I like it to be more comforting. Some places do it better than others, but yeah, it's a comfort drink. It lowers my stress, calms me down.
I love it. Well, and for all of you drinkers out there, I think you could throw a couple shots of rum chata in first thing in the morning. It'd be delightful. Yeah. So what can we celebrate for you this week?
What can we celebrate this week? Probably the biggest thing is we're having a phenomenal year.
Cheers to that. Yep, when do you not have a phenomenal year?
Well, I mean, the goal is always to do plus one. But yeah, we're up 45% this year.
Wow, that's incredible.
Given the market, given COVID, given, you know, what we had to deal with. I can tell you this, it's been a focus on getting back to the basics, mm-hmm. and a focus on getting back into the relationship. And so when a lot of other people took the quarantine, took COVID as a opportunity to be lazy, an opportunity to, you know, maybe clean out their closets, an opportunity to come up with all these great ideas, what they're going to do, mm-hmm. and then not do any of them. We took it as an opportunity to improve our skill set. We took it as an opportunity to dive into our database. We took it as an opportunity to really reach out to our database and see if there's anything we can do to help them. And then just kind of see how they're doing with this and how they're adjusting to it and how they're coping with it, mm-hmm. which has allowed us to really kind of show people we really do care.
Right.
It wasn't a real estate call. It wasn't a sales call. It was a, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Is there anything I can do to help? And ultimately, the more someone knows you care about them, the byproduct of that is you're going to be up. You're going to have big years.
Right, right. Well, that's such a trusting thing too, when you're just calling to reach out to people to see how they're doing. I think that's commendable. So we're going on a party bus. You can bring anyone with, Jay. We don't know if we're going to be drinking drinks or not. Okay. We might just be always full of chai tea. Who is coming on our bus? They have to be alive.
They have to be alive? Mm-hmm. Well, that changes it.
You were just about to say somebody too.
Just about to give you a name. I would probably go with some of your elite minds, where even a simple conversation leads to multiple gold nuggets where you could take any one of them and ultimately change the course of your life. So I'd probably say maybe Bezos, Buffett.
I'd be there.
Some of those minds where,
yeah,
where you know if you sit down with that person, that even in a normal conversation talking about anything and everything, that you might take away a game changer.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Great options. So pretend I'm a kindergartner. I just shrunk to a quarter of my size.
Okay.
Explain to me what you do for a living.
I'm a salesman.
Okay. What do you sell?
Homes.
Houses, love it.
American dream.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Sports agent.
Awesome.
I want to be Jerry Maguire.
Awesome.
That's what I wanted to be.
I love that movie. Okay, there's millions of real estate agents in the United States. You've been doing it for over 2 decades. You sell hundreds of homes a year. How do you do it, and how did you get where you are today?
So how did I do it? First and foremost is got started,
mm-hmm.
went to work, never quit.
How did you get started? Like, how did you know, hey, I want to sell homes?
Well, there's a lot of real estate agents give this perception that they're much more successful than they really are. So you see the fancy cars, and you see the cabins, and you see the flash and the bling. And for me, I had a family member in real estate who sent out these really high glossy colored brochures. And this high glossy color brochure was like all about her success. Like her kids had matching dirt bike outfits, and they had dirt bikes, and they had a cabin, and they had, I picture it. She was in either a Lincoln Navigator, and she had the big phone, like holding up the big phone, and the ones in the box. And I'm looking at this. It's high colored. It's glossy. It was sent obviously to my mom's house. And I'm looking at this going, wow, man, it made me feel like that's where all the money was. And it made me feel like we were broke, like, because I started comparing.
Yeah.
And the reality of my mom is super sharp, and she acts broke because she's not. but that's what I saw as an agent. And then I got into it, and I realized a lot of real estate is smoke and mirrors. And a lot of real estate is, agents putting out this perception of how great they are and how much they do and what this and that. And that's why you have so many real estate agents will claim they're number one. And it's like, well, you can't have that many number ones in the marketplace. But that's how I got into it. I saw a picture of success, and you got it through real estate. And little did I learn that none of that is truth. Most real estate agents that are portraying that, they don't really have any money. In fact, in real estate, most agents, I think we have the highest percentage of agents or people in the industry that are behind on taxes.
Oh my.
Well, we don't get W-2s, so we're instructed to save the money ourselves.
Yep.
Good luck. And then you play this game where you get some big commission checks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like, well, I'll pay that in my next one and my next one and my next one. And real estate agents get behind. And I was there. I got behind a lot. And so then what's changed and what's made this success is a team. And that's been the biggest difference, is truly realizing you can only do so much by yourself. And and if anybody's not seen The Last Dance with Michael Jordan on ESPN, they should watch it. There's a bunch of business tactics there. And one of the things that come to my mind about that is when Phil Jackson took over the team and told Michael, you can win the scoring title every year, but you will not win championships until you have a team. And so Michael actually took an approach to score less and get the team involved. And that's the reason why he has six championships. But he couldn't win the scoring anymore.
Yeah.
So for me, it's kind of the same thing. I was really great by myself, and I did a lot of great things by myself, but I was never winning championships until I built a team around me.
I love it. And now you've even gotten into coaching real estate agents. And what are the key themes that you see and that you cover over and over again when you're coaching realtors?
Biggest thing is this. There's two words that come to mind, earn and learn. And it's very interesting because the more you'll earn is based on the more you learn. And really, it's just the difference of one letter in those two words. But the letter is learning. So the more you can learn, the more you'll earn. You're always improving. For my students, the biggest thing with my students is surrender. The students that surrender will blow up. And what I mean by that is, in any walk of life, and I think it's in your personal relationship, I think it's in your spiritual relationship, I think it's in your health and fitness, it's in your work relationship, it's all about who do you surrender to and what authority. And what you'll find out is, if that authority is you, you're probably messed up. Like, if I leave my spiritual guidance to myself, I'm messed up. So I surrender that to a pastor. If I leave my business, even though I'm really, really good at what I do, I still surrender my business decisions to a coach that is better than me. So I still get coached.
Yep, totally makes sense.
Even though I coach people at home. Like, I'm not married, but I can almost guarantee that in your relationship, one of you surrenders to the other. And one of those conversations where you have a normal day, but you get a golden nugget. I was talking to this man named Rick Ruby, and I was sitting down with him, and he makes a boatload of money a year. I mean, a lot. And one of the interesting things he said to me, he says, even though I make fill in the blank, it's still my job to take the trash out.
Right.
So what he was saying there is at home, he surrenders to his wife, Britt.
Sure.
And so I think that's the key for my students. That's the key for me as a student, is the word surrender. Who do you surrender in what life? And the reality of it is this. There's a difference between optional and mandatory. And you tell me where you're failing in life, and I will tell you you're surrendering at an optional level. You tell me where you're successful in life, you're surrendering at a mandatory level. So, for instance, I'm not the most fit guy, but you don't see me in the gym every day at 8 a.m. It's optional to me. Like, me showing up at the gym is optional. Me showing up to my office by 8 a.m., mandatory.
Yep.
So that's why I'm successful in real estate, not successful in the gym. So one of those conversations, again, where you talk to people that are more intelligent than you, more successful than you, further along in life, more experienced, you'll get these nuggets. And one of those nuggets I got from this person and from Rick was this. Anything in your life you're frustrated with, you're probably treating it as an option.
Right.
Anything in your life where you have success, you're probably treating it as mandatory.
I love it.
And that's the difference, in my opinion, between success and failure. How you approach it. Is it optional or mandatory?
Right. Well, and when you first said the word surrender, I was like, wow, that's a powerful word. And then explained it, it totally makes sense. And I've never heard that perspective.
Yeah. You brush your teeth?
Absolutely. Every day.
It's mandatory.
Twice a day. Yeah. So, now, can I figure out how to get my kids to do it? It's optional to them.
It's optional. And that's the other thing, too, is like when we talk about, and I don't know where you're going with your cue cards here, but if we start talking about getting leads and generating business,
yeah,
here's what's
Let's
interesting.
Let's talk about it.
So getting leads, generating business, and how it relates to getting your kids to brush their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So in real estate, we get upset when we drive through a neighborhood and we see a sign in the yard and someone else's real estate sign. We instantly get mad at them. We're like, oh, they're unloyal. They cheated on me. But then you start to look back and go, well, how many times did I talk to them? How many times did I reach out to them? Did I develop a relationship? So then it comes back to asking for leads and talking to people. And here's where it is. If you don't program your database, if you don't program your clients to give your name out, to
right.
pass your name out, to give you referrals, to highlight you, to review you, you're failing. And here's where it goes. If your kid doesn't brush their teeth tonight, what do?
Tell them they got to do it tomorrow.
Well, you tell them to go brush your teeth.
Yeah.
How many times will you remind them?
Like 4, and then I'm done.
But you constantly remind them, right?
Right.
So here's what's interesting. You will constantly remind your kids to brush their teeth until someday they've actually learned to brush their teeth.
Right.
Over and over and over and over again. But you probably won't take your client and program them to ask for a referral. So programming a client to ask for a referral is something like this. Hey, Renee, can I count on you in the next 12 to 13 months to give me one name, somebody that's thinking about buying or selling?
Absolutely.
Or it could be something like this. Hey, you know I still sell real estate. I'd love you if you drop my name every now and then. The difference is we will do it with our kids over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes second nature.
Sure.
But we'll never ask our clients one time.
Why not? What is the prevention? What are people resisting?
Is it
just they're not educated on how to continuously generate leads and program their clients on referrals? Or is there something internal that they need to work on first?
I think we're afraid. I think it all comes down to fear. It comes down to the difference between fear or faith. If you're afraid, if you have fear that you're pestering that person, you're bothering that person, if you have fear like you're trying to get something from that person,
mm-hmm.
you won't do it.
Right.
So it's kind of like this. Is it easier for you to make a phone call awarding somebody $1,000 or making a phone call asking someone to pay you a bill of $1,000?
Giving them $1,000.
Much easier, right?
Yeah.
So here's the difference. When you call and ask for a referral, when you call and ask for a name, instantly your mind goes to you're asking for something from them.
Mm.
So it's like you're asking for them to pay you back the money you borrowed.
Right,
them.
Right.
When instead, what you're giving that person is you're giving that person, hey, I'm going to take really good care of your friend.
Right.
Don't you care for your friend? Don't you want your friend to be
right.
really well taken care of? So I'm giving your friend something of value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to make that phone call.
Well, it's all mindset.
Yeah.
Which
most
you,
things are.
Right, right. We've talked about that a lot on this show. Speaking of mindset, how do you get people to shift from, you know, there was a book I read, I can't think of it, but it was a sales book. And it was basically you had to change your thinking, not I'm taking, but I'm providing information and I'm providing value in every conversation that I'm having. I can't remember what book it is, but that's really what you have to do when you're having these conversations is tear down the fact that you're not taking, you're giving, you're providing, you're helping people.
And I don't know what book it was, there's several of them, but one way to look at it is reframing.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way I see it, but what if I saw it like this?
Mm-hmm.
So reframing. And then still a challenge. It's always a challenge, even when you're in that stage of trying to reframe it. I mean, like, interesting enough, I just got these little plaques made up. You've been to my office.
Yeah, it's a great office.
It's like yours. We have a lot of things on the wall to remind us of our job.
Yeah. How awesome we are.
I don't know about that, but... So I just made up this little plaque, and it's about 4 inches by 4 inches. I used a local company here, and I made it for my students.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it to them, and they're going to put it next to their computer. And basically it says, your number one job is to make 30 outbound calls. And then down below it says, until your number one job is done, everything else is a distraction. Now, interestingly enough, I'm talking to Tina about this morning, my
mm-hmm.
assistant, and I go to Tina. She goes, well, those plaques are done. I'm looking at them. I'm taking one out. And she goes, what's that for? I go, I'm going to put it next to my computer.
Yeah.
She goes, well, I thought we made those for the students. I go, just about everything we do is first for me because I'm the one that needs to hear that the most. Because, like, even as of today, I don't have my 30 outbound calls done as of today. So when you look at that little reminder, everything I do besides those 30 outbound calls is a distraction to my number one job.
Right.
So I think a lot of people need to look at it and say, what's your number one job? And then everything else is a distraction until that's done.
Right.
And if we live that way, most of us find out we'd have our job done early, and then we can have the distractions come back in. But
absolutely. And it's called mindset. Focus. You're like focus and clear mindset. Love
it. Focus. So I use the word focus a lot with my students. The acronym of focus is F, filtering, O, out, C, clutter, U, unlocks, S, success.
Oh, I love Focusing, it.
Focus basically means filtering out clutter, unlocks success.
I love that.
And it's one of the things I'll repeat back and forth. The more clutter you can get out of your mind, mm-hmm. of your house, the more success you'll be. Like in selling your home. Stage homes, sell 80% faster, 11% more money. Number one thing we do on a stage home is we get rid of your clutter.
Right.
And get rid of the clutter. And so that's one of those occasions where less is more.
Exactly. Like,
so, yeah.
You're full of value bombs, Jay. Yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
You're so great.
I learn every time I talk to you.
I told my team, I was like, I need to go on vacation with Jay and just pick your brain.
Well, we do, at our company, we do a team vacation where that's literally what we do is... We have breakfast together, we have lunch together, we have dinner together, we will have drinks together, we're on vacation, but that's literally what it is. It's, you can only talk about your personal life so much until you start going, man, what if we did this and did this?
Yeah.
I just think, I know people say the best place for a lot of times for business is golf courses and things like that. I would even go as far as to say, in my opinion, the best business ideas and everything done around is done around a bonfire. I really truly believe that you get people around a bonfire where you can hold court and you can be relaxed and you can just have conversation. One person can kind of run the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's where you get some really good like fireside chats. And
yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. Now, just like any career, it's not all snow cones and rainbows, Jay.
Unless you're in that business.
Right.
If you had a snow cone truck,
right.
I'm sure there are a lot of snow cones.
Right. But can you share a failure that you encountered and how you pushed through it?
Yeah. You know, anytime, a really good business technique is what we do called letter of the heart. And any time you can share failure, vulnerability, anytime you can tell people that you struggle as well, you'll bond better with your client and your database. So probably my biggest failure that I've overcome in real estate is I was one of those agents that had a back IRS tax. I went 11 years without paying my taxes.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. At one point I had $487,000 in IRS tax.
Ouch.
Now I can say today, and it's a lot easier to share the story when the success is followed,
right.
But so I don't have to worry about it. And it's paid off in full. But I remember having a conversation with my mom about it. She's the first person I told about it. And
it like your deep, dark secret?
Yeah.
That had to be like, ooh.
It sucked. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. You immobilize yourself. I mean, I remember going to an appointment to put a house on the market. And I remember stopping at the gas station on the way to the appointment because it was on E and I didn't think I was going to make it there. And I'm grabbing the change out of the change cup, and the gas station's still there. So every time I drive by it, I get that feeling again. But I remember bringing the change in there. I think maybe it was like $1.87. So I put enough gas in there to get to the appointment. And the whole time I'm doing the appointment, getting their house on the market, you got that in the back of your mind where it's like, man, you're a failure. You didn't even have enough money to put gas in there.
Mm.
Why do these people want to hire you? So you're trying to, you're fighting that demon with yourself.
And that's a big snowball coming down the hill.
You're fighting that demon with yourself saying, you're trying to have these people hire you and see you as a success when in the back of your mind, you just scraped together $1.87 to get here. And of course, driving at that time, I was driving a black Lincoln Navigator, but I had no money to put gas in it. And I kept remember thinking, this is out in the country, so like every house is a mile away. I remember thinking, okay, I hope I got enough gas when I leave here so I can get down 1 mile and around the corner before I run out. So if they do leave for the night, they don't see me on the side of the road.
Oh my gosh.
So Jay. All of that was the same time, you know, I had that. I had the IRS debt. And that was, you know, that's probably my biggest, you know, failure that I remember in real estate. I mean, yeah, I've lost listings before. I've had clients blow up on me. That one's a little bit different because I put myself in that spot. And ultimately, the biggest lesson I learned from that is this. If you're in a hole, regardless what that hole is, mm-hmm. in my case, it was debt. If you're in a hole, you got to stop digging.
Right.
You'll never get out of a hole by digging. You can't spend your way out of debt. So if you're in a hole, you got to eventually throw the shovel out and start filling the hole in. And that was a 7 year, you know, the day I decided to stop digging, it was 7 years to get out. And
wow.
And it was 7 years to get out. I had to, you know, incorporate and enlist some help. My mom was the first person I told, and her response was, move to Canada. No, I'm not kidding. That was her response. And she was serious.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sitting here going, Mom, I've got a little girl that's going to be born in a few months. I can't really move to Canada.
Right.
It's not really an option. Right. But she basically said, and I love my mom. I love my mom dearly. But sometimes the people that are closest to you are not the ones that you need advice from.
Sure.
I love my mom dearly. She's super, super, super sharp. A great mother, but telling me to move to Canada and being serious wasn't an option.
Right.
So that's probably my biggest failure, my biggest challenge. I can tell you today, one of the reasons why, you know, I get up every morning, one of the reasons why I work as the hours I do is because I have I've told myself I'll never go back there, and I never will. Period.
I love it. Well, congrats and bravo for...
Yeah, that was...
And thanks for sharing. That's really...
That's my biggest failure.
Yeah. So you work with people for a living, oftentimes during vulnerable times in their life, divorces, things like that. Yeah. Can be rewarding and challenging. Do you have any favorite or any unforgettable stories that come to mind of people, their situations that you've helped?
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of situations where we help people. Ultimately, you know, not to get in too many details, the most rewarding and enjoying part is where you get somebody in a dream home that never thought they were going to buy a home ever.
Oh, awesome. You know,
that's still super rewarding because in the reality of those people that never thought they could buy a home or been lifetime renters,
mm-hmm.
usually they're not buying a home that's going to get you the largest commission check in the world. Usually it's a super small check, and when you start to figure out the hours, you probably lose money on it. But those are the ones that they might not fill up your bank account, but they fill up your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones are rewarding. And you know, there are a lot of times where, for me, one of the biggest reasons people hire me is my negotiating skill set. Because most realtors never really have been trained in negotiations.
Mm.
They never went to school for it. They don't do the number of sales I do, so they don't get the experience as fast. So one of the things that's rewarding for me is negotiating the best possible scenarios for my client. And that's kind of the game within the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of going back to that episode, The Last Dance. You know, Michael Jordan always found a way to make a game within the game. Like, his job obviously was ultimately to win that basketball
right.
game. But he always had another game within the game that gave him a chip on the shoulder that took him to the next level. That's really kind of my game within the game when it comes to real estate. Yes, I want you to sell your home, but I want to do it in a way where it has a long-term beneficial impact on you more than just selling your home.
Sure.
Because really, anybody could sell a home if you drop the price.
Right.
So I want to do it in a way where we can get you to maximize your money or maximize what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time, but yeah.
I love it. So what's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I ever received is don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better.
Oh, that's great. I've seen that quote.
That's a Jim Rohn quote. And when you asked me if I went on a party bus, who I'd want to come with, Jim Rohn would have been the first person, but you said...
Oh, yeah, I love Jim Rohn. I always say to people, my favorite quote of his is, you are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. Yeah, and I can't... Yep, exactly.
The interesting thing with Jim, and I think sometimes Jim doesn't get enough credit for this, Jim had two primary, let's say, disciples. He had two guys that basically went on the road with him, was his kind of junior coaches, was sales people for him. Mm-hmm. You know who those two are?
Brian Tracy?
Darren Hardy?
Oh, yeah, Darren Hardy. Wait, don't say the next one. I know the other one. Kevin Harrington? No. Not Kevin Harrington. Darren Hardy. Who wrote the other book? The Slight Edge.
So Darren Hardy wrote The Slight Edge.
Oh.
And wrote The Compound Effect.
Yeah.
So he wrote both those. The other person...
Get my books all messed up.
Was Tony Robbins.
Oh, Tony Robbins! So I wasn't thinking.
So interesting enough, if you look at Jim Rohn and you look at the impact he had on people, you have two people are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy and Robbins are completely different.
Totally different.
Hardy's like methodical, slight edge stuff about just be getting a little bit better each day and the compounding effect of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Like do 10 sit-ups a day instead of trying to do 100 sit-ups this week.
Right.
And that's hard. And then Robbins is all about the mind and all about triggers and the psychology about it, NLP. Mm-hmm. So completely different, but both basically served under
Rohn. I didn't know that. I
love Jim Rohn. It's just a simple, I like those simple farming messages. Like you don't need to be a doctorate to understand Jim's message.
Exactly.
Like sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. He gets it from the Bible, but he's able to take it in a way going, yeah, well, if you're going to go out there and you're going to look for business, you know, business is like sowing and reaping. It's like some of your seed falls on fertile ground. Some fall on rocky ground. Some gets too much rain. Some don't get enough rain. Some you finally get a sprout and you're all excited and the weeds choke it out. And it's so simple.
Yes.
It's so simple and it's so powerful. And that's one of the things, like, I've talked to, like, my students when I'm coaching other real estate agents. To me, there's three phases of lead generation, and that is the farmer, the hunter, the protector. Those are the three phases. The farmer, so I tell my students all the time, you must work like a farmer. And I say, what does that mean? That means you plant a bunch of seeds, and you have faith. There's going to be a harvest.
Sure.
Because most farmers don't know if they're going to have a crop or not. It's a good thing we have crop insurance these days. They didn't have it in biblical times. But so you got to work like a farmer. And what I mean by work like a farmer, you get up early, you work late, you plant a bunch of seeds, and you have faith that there will be a harvest someday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there's a harvest, now you have to switch gears and you have to be the hunter. And what I mean by that is you got to kill like a hunter. So when it's in front of you, and I don't, it's not like I'm supporting hunting or condemning it. I'm just basically saying that when a hunter is in front of you and you go back to the time and period where you had to hunt to live, they cannot hesitate to throw the spear.
Right.
They cannot hesitate to pull the bow back. They had to kill like a hunter. Otherwise, they might not have another game come in again and it might starve a family.
Right.
It might starve a village. So that's where I'm like, work like a farmer, kill like a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
The last one's the protector. And it says, protect like a protector. Guide and whatnot. And so my thing there is, I envision a shield and a sword when I envision a protector. I envision like a Spartan, a Roman. And what I mean by that is, you protect what you've hunted, what you've harvested, what you've built. You protect the people around you. You protect your assets. You protect your clients. You take care of them. You do what they need. You service them. But that, to me, is anything in business comes down to those three things. You're either a farmer, a hunter, or a protector. At any point in time, the same lead, the same client can be in all three of those stages.
Right.
So that's my talk.
Excellent. More value bombs from Jay Fletch. Where can we find you, Jay?
I'm here. Right now.
Well...
So I'm invisible.
Stinker. Where can people find you if they want to work with you or want...
Oh, just my website. I guess my website's probably the best thing. Just jayfletch.com, jayfletch.com. Fletch, like the movie Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Yep. Jayfletch.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this valuable information. For all of you listeners who are frustrated in your jobs or need some coaching, go to careersandcocktails.com to learn about my resume writing, e-learning courses, and career coaching. Until next time, we'll see you then. Cheers! Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.